Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, bear with us, are poo transplants the next big performance enhancer? Because studies suggest they could turn a donkey into a racehorse.
Which means there is hope for us yet, Si. We have also got the latest top name ex-pros take on the gravel world, Mark Cavendish adopting Zone 2 training, and a look at the brand new 12-speed Brompton.
Plus, we have got an exclusive giveaway for you, so stay tuned for that.
This week in the world of cycling, we learn that Emil Herzog of Bora Hansgrohe crossed the finish line first at the Trofeo Palma last week.
Unfortunately for Emil, there were still two laps to go after his exuberant celebration.
Do you know what, though? I would still put that photo on the wall if that was me. Hands in the air, big race.
Well, I was thinking you should have done it on the Champs-Élysées as you finished 164th in the Tour de France, shouldn't you, really? That would have been amazing.
That would have been good.
Now, we learnt as well that even Ollie Bridgewood, who normally leaves no stone unturned when it comes to performance gains, would not wear that new POC Aero road helmet.
Shall we quote Ollie?
Yeah, go on.
He said, "You've got to preserve the aesthetic of the sport somewhere." That's the same Ollie Bridgewood, by the way, that was seen in public using knee-high socks and an aero chest fairing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in defence of Ollie, this is a bit of a worrying trend in the world of road racing, isn't it? Those new helmets from Kask, the one that covers your ears, and then this POC one, which kind of defies explanation, really, doesn't it? They're not the most pleasant to look at.
No.
I mean, lycra-clad cyclists, let's face it, we have never been the cool kids on the block, but it does feel like things are perhaps going a little far, doesn't it? Particularly if Ollie thinks that.
Do you know what? Next, everyone's going to be wearing big oversized shades, aren't they?
Well, I mean, if everyone does, they may not become quite as cool, but there's certainly no need anymore, no, with those aero helmets with a visor.
Integrated visor,
absolutely, I mean, for me, those lids look a little bit like something that might be worn by a model for an inline skating ad in Los Angeles in like 1992. Do you know the kind of thing I mean? Yeah, it's that kind of thing. Right, now moving on, we also learned recently that there could be a new doping practice on the horizon. Quite frankly, it's shit.
Literally
shit. Yeah, fecal transplants.
Otherwise known as poo doping. And before you laugh, this could actually be a thing by the sounds of it. We shall try to explain without being too graphic just here. So in medical situations, its use is widespread to treat chronic C. diff infections. The idea around potential fecal transplants in humans is to improve the health and volume of your gut bacteria or microbiome.
Yeah, now this is a hot topic at the minute in health circles right now. The more research that is done, the more scientists are realizing the incredible importance of our microbiome to general well-being and health. Yeah.
So in a healthy person, the healthy bacteria in your body can weigh about the same as your brain, which is incredible, isn't it?
Well, it is. In fact, you have 10 times more microorganisms in your body than you have actual cells that make up your body.
It's incredible.
That's mind-blowing, isn't it? Yeah.
These microorganisms have a multitude of functions, and amongst them is food digestion, regulation of our immune system, protection against other bacteria that cause disease, and production of vitamins. But they have been linked to your mood and emotions as well.
So that's right.
A multitude of functions.
Yeah, so the health of your microbiome is partly genetic, we think, but largely influenced by your diet as well. So to simplify things massively, the more whole foods, vegetables and fermented foods you eat, and the fewer processed foods as well, actually, which can be detrimental, then the better your microbiome is going to be.
Yes, so if you want to improve your gut microbiome, and you should, let's be honest, then you can by improving your diet. However, it might still not be as good as somebody else's, in which case you can take some through their fecal matter.
That sounds absolutely rank,
doesn't it?
Now, studies in humans are limited at the moment, but there are plenty involving mice, okay? So here's some food for thought. In a Harvard University study in 2019...
2019? Like we're late to the party with this one. How are we only stumbled upon it now?
Well, I know. I mean, who would have thought? Because we are renowned as having our fingers on the pulse of scientific research. Anyway, researchers took 15 stool samples from Boston marathon runners and then compared them with 10 sedentary people and found that elevated levels of certain bacteria in the marathon runners. When mice were then injected with those identified bacteria, they then displayed increased levels of endurance and lower susceptibility to inflammation.
However, doctors have since pointed out that the risk of humans trying something similar are there, aren't they? You might acquire some good microbes, but you could also acquire some that you don't really want.
That said, Dan, there are also risks with storing your blood in a fridge and re-injecting it at a later date, but that did not seem to put off some pro cyclists.
It didn't, did it? I can already see a huge scandal on the horizon, actually. Police seize hundreds of poos, all in bags with names of riders' pets on them.
That'd be a storm, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd be crap for the sport, wouldn't it?
Can we squeeze any more puns in at this point?
Well, number one, I can't think of any more from this stool. And number two...
I see what you did there. Yeah, right, anyway, let's not waste any more time, shall we? Right, going back to the studies, there was another one conducted back in 2017.
Christ, we really are very late to this party.
Well, we are. Yeah, we are. Better late than never, though. That one looked at the gut microbiome of elite cyclists, amateur cyclists, and non-cyclists, right? So super relevant to us. A microbe called Prevotella was found in just 10% of the non-cyclists. It was found in half of the amateur cyclists, but get this, it was found in all of the elite cyclists.
Amazing. The study was conducted by Lauren Peterson, a research scientist at the Jackson Laboratory for Genomic Medicine in Connecticut, who said that she had given herself a fecal transplant.
Oh God, how?
Well, I'm going to quote what she said, which was, "Not fun, but it's pretty basic."
Oh, God. She did it at home?
On her own, apparently, yes.
Well, I mean, if I was going to do it at home, I think I would be on my own. I don't think I want anyone else to see
no
that.
No supervision whatsoever. Anyway, she did it to treat a number of symptoms that she'd been experiencing since she contracted Lyme's disease when she was a child. So transplant apparently completely cured all those symptoms that she'd had from Lyme's disease. And not only that, she said that she went from struggling to find the energy to go out and train on her bike to winning bike races.
Wow. I mean, okay. Well, that does raise the point. Would you do it? I don't know. Obviously, that is just one isolated data point, but it certainly makes you think, doesn't it?
You think, yeah.
Do we know why non-cyclists had 10% of Prevotella and why amateur cyclists had 50%? Do we know that difference? Is it something that you get from, I don't know, like spray off the road on wet days, like from cow
well,
or something?
I'm no scientist, as you know, so I'm not sure on the answer to that. But potentially the reason why 100% of pros have it is maybe that it's an essential component of elite performance, maybe.
Well, yeah, I suppose that is then. God, imagine that. The kind of the hidden like talent.
The key.
Is actually success. Your microbiome. I guess...
Our microbiome must be crap, mustn't it?
I guess the other question then, right, and the important question is, would poo doping... poo transplants be unethical? Would WADA move to ban it if it became a thing? Well, maybe it is a thing, we just don't know about it.
How would you even test for it? Do you think it's possible to test for poo transplants?
Well, I don't know, you'd have to have some like poo biotransplant. A biotransplant? Biopassport, I mean, like the blood passport.
To see if there's any radical differences from one week to the next.
Well, yeah.
It is a really interesting question though, isn't it? But I guess it would be construed as unethical because you're effectively injecting something that enhances your performance, aren't you? Which is generally what we see as doping.
Well, yeah, but you're not injecting with a needle, are you? I think it's like a suppository, isn't it?
Needle.
It goes up and in, doesn't it? I mean, I know there are plenty of suppositories that are on banned list already, but it feels like it's more of a grey area than like a hypodermic needle, doesn't it?
Well, at the same time, there's lots of stuff that you eat, which is also banned, isn't it?
Don't need a poo transplant, mate.
No.
Absolutely not. No.
More importantly than this, though, we've also been talking about the potential performance enhancement at elite level. But the example of Lauren that we spoke about just a few minutes ago shows that it could really help people that are suffering from various ailments to just sort of feel normal and healthy again, as well as helping normal people live more energetic, active lives.
Yeah. I mean, we should throw this out to you lot, shouldn't we, really? Would you consider a fecal transplant to enhance your health, your performance? And then also, B, would you consider it to be cheating in a professional sporting context?
Yeah, you can let us know in the comment section down below. The one thing I've just thought about is, you know, this is now a podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have been a bit more descriptive in this lead story.
No, I think people might be thanking their lucky stars. Would you do it?
For health, yeah.
Would you?
Well, I think, like we said at the start, there's been limited human studies, so I'd want more of them to be published before, in case there's any danger, because as we mentioned, it might be that there's harmful microbiome that are put into your body, which you obviously don't want. But if it's proven effective, why not? Gives you more energy.
Yeah. Is it unethical?
For sport?
Yeah.
I mean, we only started thinking about this 3 hours ago. That's not long enough for me to make a decision. What do you reckon?
I mean, I think it probably is. If the advantages from getting a like turbocharged microbiome are as big as people think they are, and you can't get it simply through manipulating your diet, then yeah, I think it is unethical. But I suppose what we don't know at the minute is how much of your microbiome is genetic. We think some of it's genetic, but we don't know that much of it is genetic. And so I think if you start manipulating with, you know, inherited things, that's when you get into hot water. But otherwise, I mean, when I think about diet, like from, you know, 20 years ago when I started racing, I kind of think like, it wasn't terrible, but it definitely wasn't good.
Yeah, I've changed my diet quite a lot recently based on microbiome.
And your
stuff.
Performance has rocked it, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. The other thing I was thinking about was, how do you get a hold of Mathieu van der Poel's? I can just envisage people following his camper van from a cyclocross race and waiting for the driver to empty the tank somewhere.
I mean, I am a big fan of Mathieu van der Poel, but even I draw the line somewhere, Bogaccia. Dan.
Would you go for Bogaccia?
Well, no, we're talking.
I'd go for Voss.
Yeah, good point, actually. Yeah, longevity as well.
Anyway.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Right then, should we turn the page, so to speak, from that lot? We are going to start cycling shorts now with some science still.
This is more science.
More science. This is peer-reviewed science published in the European Journal of Public Health, no less. Sarah Alawat et al. Have added yet more evidence to the ever-growing pile that active travel, i.e. cycling to work, is incredibly beneficial for your health.
Interestingly though, they looked at a different marker of health. Inflammation, which we spoke about earlier on.
Yeah, but not in relation to turds.
No, specifically circulating C-reactive proteins, which have been linked to major illnesses such as cardiovascular disease.
Yeah, now we know from prior research that regular cyclists benefit from lower CRP levels. But in this case, the researchers looked at 6,208 working adults in Finland and found that those who walked or cycled to work for more than 45 minutes in total each day had on average 16.8% lower levels of CRPs.
However, that benefit disappeared for those whose commutes were less than 29 minutes per day when you account for other factors like diet and what they do in their leisure time.
Yeah. That's quite interesting, isn't it? 45 minutes to 29 minutes, and there's that significant difference. Anyway, let's just sum up, shall we? If you do one new thing this year, folks, cycle to work.
Yes.
Yeah.
13:30 was just about there, wasn't it? Not 29.
Well, yeah, good
Connor
point.
Only did 29 minutes, didn't he?
29 minutes, 55 seconds. Yeah, Connor. Right, now speaking of leisure time, despite retiring at the end of 2023, Greg Van Avermaet hasn't been enjoying much of it. He has already, in fact, signed up for Unbound Gravel next year, and we think he means business.
Oh, I bet he does.
Yeah.
He's the latest now long line of ex-pro roadies who are having a pop at gravel racing. And of all of them, I reckon he's the one that's got the best CV.
I think he does, yeah. We've also got some insider gossip on Greg. Okay, so Connor took him to Peru back in November to go bikepacking. It was quite extreme bikepacking as well. Anyway, Connor said that Greg was still insanely fit and still mildly obsessed with maintaining that fitness, to the point that on the day they arrived after a 20-hour flight or whatever, at altitude in Cuzco, Greg was like, do you mind if I go for a 15K run? And, off he went, yeah. So there you go.
Well, now we know why he was still so motivated in retirement.
Indeed, yeah.
Sticking with veteran pro cyclists keeping fit, king of the sprints Mark Cavendish is, according to his coach at Astana in an interview with Beachy Pro, turning to Zone 2 training in his bid for a record-breaking 35th Tour de France stage win this summer.
Yeah. I mean, technically, we've said Zone 2, haven't we? His coach said low-intensity aerobic training. Done at altitude in Colombia, which I thought was interesting. More interesting, though, not much high intensity in there and no gym work.
It's quite old school, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
I guess now he's 38, he should know what works for him by now. But
you
equally, I'm quite surprised he's not hitting the gym to try and maintain that muscle mass, because he's getting to an age where it sort of just disappears, isn't it?
Speaking from experience,
though, Dan. Yes.
Actually, speaking from experience here as well. You know, didn't have much to go, but he's going. Now, some tech news now. And the iconic folding bike brand Brompton have just introduced new 12-speed Bromptons.
This they have achieved via four-geared cassettes paired with a three-speed hub gear.
Yeah, now the promo photo, which I saw on the GCN website, I noticed, is taken on a street, actually just down the road from where I live, called Vale Street in Bristol. It's rumoured to be one of, if not the steepest residential streets in, I don't know where.
West Bristol.
Well, basically, yeah, no, the world. It's so steep, in fact, I can't help but wonder if the model on the Brompton is actually just about to overbalance backwards. Yeah. It's borderline. It certainly is borderline.
What you mean to say is you'd like to see what happened next after the photo.
I want to see the outtakes from that Brompton photo shoot, basically. Now, sticking with tech, there's also some mouth-watering new stuff coming from Campagnolo. They have a new addition to their Bora wheel line. It's been going for over 30 years now, Boras, I think. I think I read that. Anyway, don't quote me. They are even lighter than the previous generations, but the biggest news is the wider rim bed at 23 millimetres to improve the aerodynamics, specifically at the tyre rim interface.
They are available in 35, 45 and 60 mil depths, and we'll have a closer look coming very soon on this channel.
Indeed. Now, the World Cyclocross Championships are coming up this weekend. Both the current world champions, Fem van Empel and Mathieu van der Poel, do look, don't they, to be odds-on favourites to retain their titles.
Talk about dominance. Van Empel has won 15 from 17 races that she started this season, and Van der Poel, 12 from 30.
Wowzers. Now, if that sounds boring to you lot, I don't think it is. These are riders at the top of their game. Frankly, I think I could watch footage of them out training. They are that good, and I would still be transfixed. There's something about seeing people that good, isn't there? Like watching you get beaten up by Vingegaard and Kuss the other day whilst they were in their recovery zones. That will long be a highlight for me,
If only I'd got some of their microbiome after that shoot.
Oh, if only you'd thought about it first, you could have like hung around them a bit longer.
Just knocked on the door, can I come in? plus, going back to cyclocross, it's never 100% nailed on. I mean, they are the outright favourites, of course. But just look at that Benidorm World Cup from last weekend. Van der Poel hit a pole, didn't he? And
After eight laps, crashed
with 500 metres to go and then jumped back on a bike that had no saddle on it, just the rails.
It's going to take him a long time to live that down, isn't it? Not that anything happened to him, but just...
He just didn't seem to feel anything.
No! Crikey. Anyway... What we're saying is the World Champs this weekend should be an absolute cracking weekend of racing, shouldn't we? It will also be farewell to a bit of a pro cycling legend, won't it? Zdeněk Stybar. So he has carried on racing in order for his last pro race to be at his home World Championships. That's at Tibor in the Czech Republic. It's a race he won in 2010. So that's kind of a cool little comeback type vibe, isn't it? But we would like to wish him well, not only for the Tibor World Champs, but also for the future as well.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. I really like Zdeněk.
Yeah, and he's been a fixture on our radars for a long old time, hasn't he?
It's been a long time. Did you see the jersey he wore at the World Cup yesterday?
Yeah, what was that?
It was just a white skin suit, but he had thank you written in multiple languages.
No way!
Yeah, pretty cool.
Oh, that is super cool, isn't it?
Next up, hack / bodge of the week. Don't forget, it is upload globalcyclingnetwork.com if you would like to submit us your hacks and or bodges. Our first one this week comes in from Mike in West Sussex, who said, I was fed up with getting off the bike to change track or to type whilst on my indoor trainer. Look no further than the Garmin mounted keyboard, music track changer and touchpad. Garmin mount adapter is £4, sticky pads 50p's worth used. I can't understand the last bit. If that and mini keyboard is £9.99, basically.
Seems pretty cheap, doesn't it?
Yeah. What is that? Under £15 in total.
I think that's quite good. I do find it hard to type whilst Zwifting.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people, they just seem to be like, they just seem to write stuff all the time. I'm incredibly impressed
with that.
Proliferation.
So on my 30 and 30 on Saturday evening, I was pretty quick, but I do have to be sort of out of the bars at the time, just with my phone, which would get a bit old in the end. But I don't know what the next solution would be to it.
Well, I know.
It looks pretty neat.
You need like dictation, don't you, really? A little headset.
What you need is a set of aero bars with this. So you're literally just down here typing.
Yeah. I mean, this I prefer to my phone because, as you know, I sweat a lot. And my touchscreen stops working after about 24 seconds. Mm. So that does look better. I'm going to say that's a hack.
Yeah, I'm saying that's a hack as well.
Yeah.
I think a neat job as well.
Yeah, I would agree. Nice work then, Mike. Right, getting us off to a good start. Next, we've got David from Whitley Bay. I should have Googled where Whitley Bay was.
That's in the UK.
Is in the UK, is it?
No idea. You read it out.
I'll read it out. You find out. I think it might be like West Coast of Australia or something. Anyway, I have converted a used CO2 cartridge into a storage container for my tyre plug spares and patches. I cut the bottom end off the cartridge and plugged it with an old bar end. This all fits into a pump handle along with a full cartridge and plug tool, so I have all my tyre needs in one place now. That is amazing.
That is the work of genius.
That is super cool. How did you even work out? It's, you know that, is it an Instagram thing? Things that fit, where it's just like stuff that fits perfectly into other stuff, could be anything. Mm. But how you found that a CO2 cartridge fits into the bottom of your pump? Unless I suppose it's designed to go in there.
Probably, yeah.
But I think that's amazing.
Aftermarket product.
Yeah.
No, that looks fantastic. It's a hack from me.
Yeah, oh, a hack from me, 100%. And do we know where he lives?
Yes, Whitley Bay is near Newcastle, the east coast, north of the UK.
And is there a Whitley Bay on the west coast of Australia as well?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't get that far.
You know.
Google assumed I was looking for the closest one.
Okay.
And we shall assume it was the closest one.
Yeah, please give us a country as well. And a surname might help too when you're uploading stuff, so we can give a proper shout out.
Next up, this one came in from Robert, who says he is at home.
There you go,
we don't
Robert.
Know
where
that
is. Surname and location, please.
Robert says, living in a household with several people biking, I need to find solutions to keep our cycling stuff. For the family's Garmin breed, I just used a piece of scrap wood, Garmin holder inserts that I got from AliExpress for basically no money, and mounted them to our helmet shelf.
They're giving stuff away on AliExpress. That's amazing. That is super neat, actually, I've got to say.
Yeah, I'm jealous of said level of neatness.
I know, yeah, that is amazing. I feel like I need that in my life. Yes, I mean, that's just a hack, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hack from me as well.
Yeah.
I mean, having a helmet shelf to start with is a hack.
Having a helmet shelf is a hack. Having a Garmin or a Wahoo storage shelf is also, I mean, that's just brilliant, isn't it?
What you need is some sort of multi-charger thing, so that you can charge them all at the same time once back from rides.
Ah, oh, that'd be dreamy, wouldn't
it? But yeah, I think it's a hack from Zion, it's a hack from me as well.
It is,
The last one comes in from Dan, who's in St. Charles, Illinois. I built a hanging light using an old wheel with a 10-speed hub and leftover parts from a pendant light project.
A pendant light project? Who are these people that have pendant light projects? Dan, I'm impressed. I mean, that looks kind of cool, doesn't it? Like, the jury's out a little bit on wheel lights, but I like the way you've taken that picture. I think that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Well, it does the job, and it's cycling related.
Also, it looks like quite a compact ratio cassette there. So just a reminder that we do still have several Campagnolo 11-speed cassettes, don't we, from 11 to 23.
It's a straight up block, isn't it? Yeah, 11. Yeah. I think I might have an 11-21 somewhere.
Really?
Mm. Straight up.
You were quite strong back then.
Yeah.
What can you do in 21?
Minimal change of cadence per gear change with that.
It's no wonder you've got such enormously muscly legs, isn't it? There we go. I don't know whether to say hack for that one. I'm really impressed, but it's not a hack, is it? It's just kind of cool.
I think we should just say bods because all the others today were hack.
Yeah, fair enough. Ah, bad luck, Dan. That's a tough call. Right, okay, remember, use the uploader. Like Dan said, there is a link also in the description. So yeah, get involved. We love seeing your hacks and bodges, and more of you uploading to the uploader as well. So thank you very much for that. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. Still no news on when it's going to have GCN.
No. They're definitely on a boat again, aren't they?
Probably, yeah. But still coveted. More coveted than ever, actually, now. The fact that it's still not quite with us yet. But anyway, all you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week. The caption, of course, needs to relate to a photo. We'll give you that one shortly. If you're listening to this as a podcast, there's not much you can do, is there, apart from...
Well, we'll try and be descriptive with the photo, shall we?
Well, and this... you still need to enter on YouTube, don't you? Work in progress.
Well, you can listen to it and then think about your caption all the way home or whatever you're doing, and then log into YouTube and leave your witty caption.
Yeah.
Job's a good one. Last week's photo was this one of Jonathan Narváez sat in the back of a van at the Tour Down Under with an ice vest that has sort of 16 compartments to it. Our winner this week is Toby McTobeface, who's given a suggestion as to what you should have said in reply to my caption.
Go on.
Dan says 16-pack. And Si should have said, I see what you did there.
I see what you did there.
I see what you did there.
Thanks. I'm not entirely sure how I feel about Toby McTobeface winning by basically suggesting that I should have been funnier at that moment.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a well-deserved Camelback water bottle.
All right, Toby McTobeface, get in touch and we will get your Camelback water bottle out to you. I mean, it is quite funny, but still.
It's very good.
Right, this week we have an image of... Who is that?
That is the winner of the Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race, Lawrence Pithy, with Cadel Evans on the podium.
There it is, yeah. And they are literally just stood on the podium holding a shark's fin trophy.
Oh, I hope it's not that. That won't go with my caption.
Oh, I was. Go on then.
Hey, Lawrence, did you see Cadel Evans at the Great Ocean Road Race? Yeah, and he gave me a wave.
Oh, I see what you mean. The trophy actually isn't a shark's fin, it's a wave.
I think so. Well, I hope so. Otherwise, that doesn't work at all. I mean, it's not great anyway.
It's not very good at all, yeah. Well, the fact that it's indistinguishable between a shark fin and a wave. I mean, it's a nice trophy, but anyway, there we go.
It's too curvy for a shark's fin, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, leave your captions in the comments section down below.
It's not curvy enough to be a wave, though, is it? It's quite sharp.
Well, a wave at a certain point surely looks that shape.
Oh, I don't know, mate.
I mean, what do you want? The tunnel that the surfers go through?
Basically, yeah. I want a bit more of a barrel on it.
That's just a round thing. anyway, a Camelback water bottle is not the only thing that you can win this week. We've also got a giveaway courtesy of our new nutrition partners, Precision Hydration. 3 gift cards of $250 value are up for grabs.
Wowzers, that is pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so if you haven't seen it yet, check out the video that we put up on YouTube on Saturday, where we all got schooled on the importance of salt, basically, of sodium. We were all sweat tested, to find out how salty our sweat is, because it varies dramatically, doesn't it, from person to person?
It does. Well, I found my results from when I did this test in 2012, and mine was 580, and yours was 1,000 and...
Well, don't give the game away, Dan.
Oh, has it not come out yet?
Well, no, it has, but the question is, which GCN presenter has the saltiest sweat? So that's saltiest sweat, not highest volume of sweat, because I think there's probably not much of a question there, is that really is the highest volume of sweat on GCN.
No.
But there you go, yeah, so win one of 3 $250 gift cards to Precision Fuel and Hydration.
Yeah, we will leave a link to that competition in the description below, but I should point out there are some restrictions on this, so you're only able to enter if you're in the UK, Europe, the USA, Canada, Australia, or New Zealand. So entries will close at 10 o'clock GMT on Friday the 9th of February.
At least New Zealand can enter this time.
Yes.
Having excluded New Zealand cycling fans for many a year, we can
GCN
now...
GCN Plus.
That's it, yeah. Well, those days are
gone. We've now just excluded everyone. Just shut it down.
Well, yeah, okay. Also, perhaps whilst you're there entering the competition, you could also help to explain why on earth Connor was wearing a bucket hat for the entire video. Mm. So no one quite knows here at GCN Megabase why that is the case. But yeah, there we go. Right, should we get on to what's coming up, Dan, and some comments?
Well, as I was going to say, before we get on to what's coming up, of course, our favourite comments from last week. A few from under the show last week. Bianchi1984 put, love that the GCN show is a podcast now. It helps me a lot. I have work to do or long drives or even longer rides where I shouldn't be looking at videos because it could kill or injure others. Yeah, don't watch YouTube videos whilst driving.
No.
I can now download the GCN podcast and listen to it instead. And Miles995 put, thank you for making it a podcast. You instantly made my 2-hour drives to work a little bit better.
Oh, well, Miles, we could keep going, couldn't we? I mean, we could easily drag this out for a couple of hours. Yeah, brilliant.
Well, we do. It's just edited down heavily.
Yes, good point. Right, underneath how not to be an idiot on a bike ride, Michael Mappin 4425 said, nobody is better at launching snot rockets onto myself than me. Which I liked very much. Ranger Smith, being ready to go at the appointed time doesn't mean pulling up in your car, needing to pump up your tyres, get your shoes on, etc. at the departure time. It means being ready to go. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm always late.
For I know you ride. Are, yeah.
Always.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Whilst Tre Quattro put, that throw and catch between Si and Connor is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen at GCN. Should we have a look at it again now?
I think we should, yeah. Well, you know, what was even more impressive was that it was literally the first time we did it. Yeah, just like casually lobbed it across the entire road. Connor casually caught it. What was embarrassing is that we said, okay, well, we better get that again from another angle. So Connor threw it back across the road, where promptly I dropped it. And then when I tried to throw it back to Connor, I missed wildly. So yeah, it was basically, we got it right first time and then could never repeat it.
First time lucky. Oh. Never been a more apt statement than first time lucky.
Cool, isn't it? Connor, actually, for an ex-professional cyclist, can catch very well. He's quite adept at other sports, is Connor.
Is he?
Well, you might imagine he was very good at basketball. Mm. And he's also very good at swimming, too. Whereas I was incapable of doing anything. Mm. Other than bicycling riding.
It does not surprise me. meanwhile, under how does the menstrual cycle affect your cycling, Mark Lemorin put, every man needs to watch this as well, cyclist or not. Thank you for normalising, man on the GCN team. Whilst Run Forrester Run put, this is amazing. I'm so proud of you all for putting this together. Normalising natural biological processes are very important in both sport and society in general.
Yeah, that's cool, that, isn't it? Underneath mid-level bike versus crit race, Tofu521 said that high-pitched, look, Mom, I'm on TV, is gold. And then Mr. Gary Cow said, crit racing is no joke. Seriously good numbers, Rupert. Love the bike. And he goes to show how much a good engine matters. Yeah.
Underneath Connor's beach race, the Tin USN L8834.
What?
First, sending Connor aerodynamic as a bus done to the Netherlands for the Headwind Championships, and now sending him to a beach race is some top British banter.
He's a glutton for punishment, is Connor, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
He is. Loves it, though, doesn't he?
He does indeed, yeah.
Right. Coming up on the channel this week, then, on Wednesday, we have got some stuff about interval training.
That's right.
How to get last minute, so I'm not clued up on what this is.
No, how to get started on interval training. So what was going to go out on Wednesday this week is going to go out on Wednesday next week instead, I think.
Thursday,
we can't tell you very much about that. It's a top secret new tech release that you are not going to want to miss.
That's literally all you can say, is it?
Oh, yeah. It's top secret.
Can't even say it's from a top Spanish brand.
Well, it's not from a top Spanish brand, is it? Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, you're throwing people off the scent.
Yeah.
Oh, nice work. No, it's not from a top Spanish brand. Friday, we can tell people what's happening on Friday.
Okay, yeah, it's the 30 in 30 summary, basically, and looks at whether cross-training works or not.
That's right. Connor's been diving into the science of whether or not other sports can help your cycling. Connor was also diving into a swimming pool, so there is a warning that he might be wearing Speedos some of that video. Yes.
Maybe make that one a podcast then.
Yeah.
you know what? I sent Si a text a few hours after recording this show last week because I was very pleased. I did a 7-minute, 17-second kilometre walk.
That's a rapid
kilometer
walk,
online walk.
So yeah.
Out of 3K, so I was dead pleased with that.
Yeah.
Talking about cross-training, if you're wondering why that relates.
I can totally imagine you becoming like a veteran world champion in speed walking.
Do you know the world record?
You've got the physique for it.
The world record for 5 kilometres speed walk is exactly the same as my PB for a 5K run.
Is that right?
Can you imagine doing the park run at full gas and there's somebody speed walking next to you the whole way around?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, frustrating that would be.
I mean, speed walking is one of those things where I'm sure it's incredibly impressive and you've got to be an unbelievable athlete to be the best in the world at it. But there is always that question of why? Why not just break into a run and go
faster?
Because
they're not the best runners in the world, so they've got to find something. It's like triathletes, isn't it? Not the best runners, swimmers or cyclists.
That makes a lot of sense.
A sport that combines all three.
Right, OK. Having just offended race walkers and triathletes, let's move on. Saturday, when Ollie and Hank were out in Tucson, Arizona before Christmas, they tackled the legendary shootout, which is supposedly the world's toughest bunch ride. So, not officially a race. Well, it's definitely not a race, it's a ride, but it's just full gas.
It's a very, very fast.
Gloves off. Yeah, and we think it's the fastest ever. So, did they survive that? Good question. Got to put a tune in on Saturday to find out. And then on Sunday, Alex hooked up with Valtteri Bottas and Tiffany Cromwell for a bike ride. We are all mega jealous of the fact that he's riding with Formula One royalty like that. And cycling royalty.
I mean, I think we mentioned this last week. He wasn't half busy on his Australian trip, was he, Alex? I'm surprised he had any time to sleep.
Well, there's more still, because he did the inaugural round of the UCI Gravel. Oh, no, it wasn't Gravel World Series, was it? Raddle Gravel.
Right.
That's not UCI sanctioned. That's just a cool gravel event. He did a full-blown gravel event.
Crikey.
And that video is coming out the weekend after. So, yeah, he was super busy. What have you been up to, Dan? Speed walking?
I know you did get beaten. I did a gravel ride yesterday.
Well, yeah, and you got beaten by Jonas Vingegaard and Sepp Kuss, which is quite cool.
Yeah, that too. But, you know, I've done a gravel ride now, so I'm one step close to their level, I would assume.
There you go, mate. That's impressive.
Thank you very much. Right, that brings us to the end of this week's GSN show. Again, a medal if you've got this far.
It's a long one.
If you're a triathlete or a walker.
Not a chance there's going to be a triathlete left at the end of this, mate. No, sorry, guys.